We've got the Mrs. Marple of the tech world standing by, the gadget detective, ladies and gentlemen. Fevzi, afternoon to you.
That's the first. Good afternoon.
Well, you know how it is. We like to sort of welcome you with a minor insult. You know how it is.
Thank you. Arthur Cargill.
Should we go straight for a question from Adrienne?
Sure.
And look, we'll come to your gadget of the month and all of that kind of stuff and a bit of news in a minute. But new computer. Got mine last year and it had a year's free antivirus software. Is it worth paying now it's a year on? And my neighbour says you can get it all for free.
Right. In my opinion, opinions vary. Antivirus is one of those things that is worth paying for. There are benefits to having a paid for product because you are then the customer, not a source of data. Now, having said that, the way it normally goes is when they, if you just allow them to renew you, they'll renew you at a very high price. So you might get a year's coverage for 40, even £50, which is crazy expensive. However, if you just make sure that they haven't, by the way, make sure that they, that you've cancelled it and they don't have your payment details. Otherwise, they will take the money and they'll take it nice and early and leave you to argue about it later. And I'm not mentioning any particular companies. More than one do that, and it's not an ideal practice. A better thing to do is make sure they don't have your payment details. Make sure that you've unsubscribed from auto-renewal. And then what you do is you look around for a deal. You can find deals on places like Amazon or there's some computer magazines that have online shops, for example, PC Pro, which is an excellent magazine, but also has really good deals on antivirus. So you could pick up something like Norton 360. Now, or Kaspersky, for example, or ESET. There are various good ones out there. But it depends what you need. If you've got more than one device, let's say you've got, you know, a couple of computers in the house, maybe a couple of smartphones and so forth, you can get multi-device licenses. So you can get ones that will cover you for 5 devices or even 10. And they can work out as little as a couple of pounds per device per year, which is, you know, much cheaper than you would pay for the single device on an auto-renewal. Never, ever, ever auto-renew antivirus.
I got caught by that last year myself, actually.
It's really bad news.
Really annoying. And funnily enough, the same company were emailing me weeks before with deals. And and when I went back and said, well, hang on, you're off. No, that's a different part of the business. And you just sort of hit a brick wall of emails.
Yeah, but they just get you on renewal. I mean, it's really... I don't want to say too much because, you know, I don't know how strong my legal insurance is, but I find it an unpleasant practice, and it's not a way to do business. You know, they'll sell you the same software for a few pounds or the same software for £50, depending on whether you look around or whether you allow them to auto-renew. You know, instead of rewarding loyalty, you get punished for it as a consumer, and we see that in so many walks of life, unfortunately.
Amazing. Well, if you want to email me, canon@bbc.co.uk. You can drop us a text as well, 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Hope that helps, Adrienne. And you can also give us a call as well. So, Fevzi, you always have your gadget of the month. And is it something exciting? What is it?
Oh, well, look, to me, it's exciting. I don't know about anyone else. It's a portable SSD. So an SSD stands for solid state drive. It is the modern replacement for the old fashioned hard disk drives that appear in older computers and even as portable drives. An SSD has many benefits over the traditional. It's for storing data, so you can use it to do things like back up all the data on your computer, or you can use it if your hard disk is getting a bit full on your laptop or whatever and you need to clear some space to allow it to work, you know, well again. You can copy out all your photos from the last few years onto one of those. Because it's an SSD, it means it's very fast. It has no moving parts. It also means it doesn't draw very much power because, again, no moving parts. And if you drop it, it's much less likely to be damaged, again, because there's no moving parts. This one in particular I like. This is from SanDisk. That's SANDISK. It's called the Extreme Pro. And it's a device that's it's ruggedized and waterproof as well. So it's about just under 4.5 inches tall, about just over 2 inches wide and less than 0.5 inch thick. And it's got a hole in the corner where you can actually, you know, put it on a belt loop or something like that, or on a key ring even. It's makes a bit of a large key ring, but you can do it. But it, as I say, it's ruggedized, so it's got aluminium inside it to help dissipate the heat that these devices produce. But then it's got this sort of rubberized grey and orange exterior, and I think it looks nice, but it also, again, if you drop it, it's likely to survive. comes in various capacities, so 500 gigabytes, which is the same as half a terabyte, 1 terabyte or 2 terabytes. And to give you an idea, 1 terabyte of storage, it's enough to store 250,000 photos taken with a 12 megapixel camera. It's enough to store 500 hours of high definition video, so it's about 250 films, or 6.5 million document pages, which is it's the equivalent of about 1,300 filing cabinets on something that will fit in your shirt pocket.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, so actually the half a terabyte might be sufficient, as I say, it goes up to 2 terabytes. Price-wise, you know, not they're a lot cheaper than they used to be. They're not, still not cheap, but much cheaper than losing your data. So they start at about £110 for the half a terabyte. The 1 terabyte is just over 200. Yeah, but, you know, it's the value of your data. If you don't need speed for you know, accessing this information, then you can use a conventional hard drive, because you still get higher capacity for lower cost with those, but they tend to be bulkier, they're more susceptible to failure, you know, they do wear out more easily, and more prone to damage. So I think all in all, actually, it's the way to go. And what I would just advise people to do is just go for as much as you need, let's say in the next year or so. You know, don't think about, oh, what will I need in the next 2 or 3 years. Get as much as you need now, because the prices of these will continue to fall and the capacities will continue to rise. So as you, let's say you buy the half a terabyte one for about £100 ish, then by the time you fill that up, you could probably get a 1 terabyte for the same money again, and you'd still have the original.
Prices always change, don't they? Got another question for you, Febsey. This is from Lynn. Is it possible to update a Dell Windows XP desktop, and is it expensive?
Yeah, in principle, it's possible, but if it's running Windows XP, that means it's quite an old machine to start with, assuming that, you know, you didn't get it with Windows 10 and go back to XP. So it's quite an old machine, and first of all, XP is not supported. Even the one after that, Windows 7, is not supported, which means that they're vulnerable to attack and no one's going to fix the weaknesses in them. And you'd probably want to upgrade the RAM memory in it and maybe replace the hard drive, as we said, with a solid state drive. And by the time you do that, it's not cost effective. So my advice would be, assuming that that machine is, you know, it's hard to say how old it will be, but it could be 8 years old or more. At that age, I wouldn't be spending money on upgrading it. I'd be looking to buy something basic that fulfills my needs. And, you know, the money that you spend on that, you will save on the upgrade. And the thing about upgrading a machine that's that old, yes, you can give it a boost, but its fundamental architecture and infrastructure is always going to be old, and it's always going to be limited. The speed at which data can move around from component to component will be limited, and therefore you're going to have it's a bit like painting go faster stripes on a very old vehicle. You know, it's much better to just cut your losses at this point.
Still, but the same underneath, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you can improve the speed, but it's still fundamentally limited. You can't sort of change its essential architecture is of a certain age, and you're going to have compatibility problems. And don't forget, anything on that machine could fail, and it's all out of warranty. Whereas, you know, well, the new parts may be under warranty, but the rest of it isn't. So much better to, you know, even if it's, you know, £300 or something, buy a basic machine. If you don't need a laptop, you can get better value for money and better longevity out of a desktop computer, where you just put the computer, you know, underneath the desk and have a monitor. You can then have a monitor of your own size choosing, and you can You know, if the screen goes or the keyboard goes or the mouse goes, you can just replace those components. Plus, it's easier to upgrade. You can add things into it rather than having to replace them because of limited size in a laptop. And so with so many of us at home these days and not going very far, you know, it might be time to consider a desktop. You get better value for money out of them at the moment.
Okay. It's funny, actually, when you just look at old tech, it's just so heartbreaking. It breaks your heart, really. But I've got an old tablet, which you can't really do anything other than watch YouTube videos on it, because everything, it would just take 10 minutes to open up a page. It's an old iPad. And other than that, it's in absolutely perfect nick. And really, where's that destined for? It's like, I can't even, you know, wouldn't even be any good for a kid to use at a school because you can't open anything on it.
So the thing about old tech, the thing that I would normally recommend people do with it to try and keep it going as long as possible is don't try and use it as a general purpose device anymore. Give it a specific job and let it just do that one thing. So, for example, that tablet could make a really good ebook reader. Or it could be good for, you know, recipes in the kitchen where you don't want to get your brand new tablet messed up with flour when you're cooking and all that sort of thing. You know, you can do it. You can use it as a communications device. Just use it for video calling in a fixed location in your house, or give it to someone who would benefit from that. That sort of thing. And with a desktop computer, for example, a good use for a really old desktop like that, you know, Windows XP one, is to, if you've got a bit of, you know, know-how, you can turn it into a firewall to protect your home, and everything connected to the internet within it becomes a really smart firewall that protects you from attack and intrusion from the outside. You can put Linux on it, which is a very good operating system, but doesn't require a very advanced machine to run, and Linux will continue to be supported, so you don't have to worry about, you know, running Windows XP or Windows 7, which is old, and you can use it as a hobbyist machine. But to use it for a single purpose can mean that the machine can continue to be useful for a long time. Machines struggle when they try and do everything now, but if you dedicate it to a task, it could still be useful.
Now, Febsey, I know people can are more than welcome to contact you via Twitter if they've got a sort of bit of a query, at Gadget Detective. So let's just throw that out there. But I know what we should mention a story about the Apple boss who's been warning about, society pushing towards catastrophe. Can you explain?
Yeah, so he didn't say Facebook in his speech, as far as I'm aware, but he's clearly thinking about Facebook. Yeah, he gave a speech about the consequences of rampant disinformation on these platforms, and if I can just take a moment, I'll just quote you something he said from it, and I think it says it better than I can. He said, "At a moment of rampant disinformation and conspiracy theories juiced by algorithms, those are the programs that serve content up to us, so they look at what we like and give us more of what we like, we can no longer turn a blind eye to a theory of technology that says all engagement is good engagement, the longer the better, and all with the goal of collecting as much information about us as possible. What are the consequences of seeing thousands of users join extremist groups and perpetuating an algorithm that recommends even more? It's long past time to stop pretending that this approach doesn't come at the cost of polarization, loss of trust, and yes, of violence." And he's hit the nail on the head that we've got these social media services that we don't pay for with money, but we pay for them with our data. They can target us for political messaging or advertising or whatever they choose. And the whole thing is to make us as addicted to our devices as possible. And when we show an interest in something that might be vaguely conspiratorial, let's say a YouTube video, then the YouTube algorithm serves us even more and more and more until we disappear down a rabbit hole. And everyone that we talk to online and all the information that we see just confirms what we already believe. This idea of confirmation bias, where the human brain is much more accepting of information that confirms what it already believes, and much more like to reject any evidence, no matter how strong, if it contradicts what we already believe. This is why in the old days when we when we used to buy newspapers, we wouldn't buy one of a different political leaning just so we could hear what they're saying. We'd buy something that agreed with our worldview, and that's now been magnified 1,000 times with social media.
Interesting. One to highlight. Well, okay, Febsey. Well, on that note, I'm just worried about what else I might see on Facebook, because some of the rubbish they think I'm interested in, it's quite bizarre, really. But anyway, Febsey, your handle on Twitter is at Gadget Detective, and if somebody's got a query, a question, whether it be about Windows XP or even that solid-state drive you were talking about, they can get in contact with you.
Anything. Happy to try and help, yeah.
Nice stuff. And we'll catch up with you again. That gadget of the month was from SanDisk, but there other ones are available,
SanDisk,
of course.
SanDisk.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, there are others. This is just one I happen to be reviewing this week, but it's a good one. 3.5 stars out of 5. And the only reason why it's not 4 out of 5 is that there's a faster version of it for a similar price that I haven't tested yet. I hope to do so. So just be aware, if you're going to buy a SanDisk one, look for the version 2 and consider that.
Excellent. Fabulously nice stuff. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Cheers.